Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We are in action, folks, with DeHaven. I'm honored to have him on. He's a stand-up guy. Thank you for coming. He's a stand-up guy. He did his time. Promises were made. He got shot over this situation. He was protecting Jay-Z. He didn't want to let his mom down, didn't want to let Jay-Z's mom down. His heart was telling him to do the right thing. And he was told, we've got you, brother. We've got your back. When you get out, it's going to be okay. And the complete opposite, he got stabbed in the back. This is a story of treachery, a story of reputational damage. It is heartbreaking because, as you can see from DeHaven, you're going to see what a pure soul this guy's got tonight. And thank you, all viewers, as well. I put questions in already. Keep them coming in. I know we've got Ronnie. Ronnie, I don't know if you're familiar with Ronnie Bowe. He would like to come in at the end and ask you some questions. He had a situation with Jay-Z. If you give us permission to do that, we will bring him in at the end. That's entirely up to you.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. I'm looking forward to meeting him, too. I was just watching some of the you guys' podcast the other night,
We have got all of your links, DeHaven, in the description box below this video. If there's anything, you know, if you want people to go over to Instagram or anything like that, so people can go over there and support you. But before we get into it then, just setting the table, what was your life like before you became friends with Jay-Z?
Before I became friends with Jay-Z, we children. You know, we come from fourth grade together, Sandbox. So before him, you know what I'm saying, it was, you know, just a kid running around. So, you know, that's our history. Like, when people ask me what was our relationship when we met, I want to make sure that when I say Sandbox, when I say day one, that they really understand that we was children. You know what I'm saying? 9, 10 years old and stuff like that. So, and rode with each other for 30 years after that. We've been enjoying each other. So.
And what was it like for you growing up personally, like in school and stuff?
Man, I ain't got no complaints, man. Life was always good for me. You know what I'm saying? I would never say that I struggled, we struggled, my family struggled, this, that, the third. Nah, I mean, it was a simple kid, man. Those times when your family, you had your neighbors was your family, people looked out for you, you know what I'm saying? Everything was trustworthy, everything was pure, it was innocence. You know what I'm saying? Coming up. So I didn't have no bad childhood coming up. You know what I'm saying? I just was one of those guys that saw the value of money at an early age. I'll say that. I saw the value of money at an early age, and one hustle, you know, after other hustle, after another hustle, and you know, and it led me to bigger hustles, bigger, you know.
What were the influences on you? Like, was it music? Was it movies that were making you see the dollars?
The influence was our era. The influence was our surroundings, our community. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The influence, the people that was running around in our community, the hustlers and stuff that, you know, the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, the style. You know, it was almost like the start of this whole hip-hop era, this whole hip-hop culture. So, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, those was our role models. You know, those were the products of our environment. Those guys were the guys to look up to. So that's what really influenced me. And they was getting money. So that came natural.
Looking back with hindsight then, would you say there was a glamorization to you as a young person?
Looking back, from now, man, I see the whole setup. You know what I'm saying? When you look back now and you understand, you know what I'm saying? It was a setup. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff was put in our community for us to benefit. You know what I'm saying? So looking back, you know, I wish I'd have known some things. You know, I was tricked. I was bamboozled, you know. But the funny thing is, nobody never told me to get into this life in the street. You know, everybody that I was around always strictly talked about, yo, stay in school, get an education, stay in school. So, you know, it's just the choices that you're going to make coming up. That's all.
So what was the crossroads for you where you made that choice to go away from the school path to the hustling?
It was the power of money. Those were the crossroads. Like I said, I've been hustling since 10, 11 years old, from newspapers to going to store for older people. You know, it always was a hustle about having money. I knew having money bought me clothes. Having money bought, it controlled things for you. I knew that very early that, you know, even just in public school, you know what I mean? Going, buying lunches, buying candy, buying this, having the money to do what I wanted to do. At some point I just got to a crossroads of like, this is it. Like, sitting in class ain't gonna do it. I was good at basketball. I should have stayed and, you know, my coach tried to help me out and stay in school and change me to different schools and programs, but I just didn't see the value of sitting in a classroom at all. So those were the crossroads. I'm gonna be sitting here listening to a teacher that's probably making $30,000-$40,000 a year, and I'm making $1,000 a day almost. So those were the crossroads.
You never know what happens. I went to college and university, and my dumb ass still managed to get arrested. So how did Jay-Z come into your life?
So, like I said, fourth grade. I was going to school, you know, we come from the same building, same floor. And one day when I moved into Marcy and I was going to school, I seen Jay walking to school. And I used to see them walking to school. I used to see him. I never knew he used to live in my building. I used to go to school with another guy and stuff. Me and him used to walk to school together because we used to have to walk through a territory of gangs. And when we walked through those gangs and stuff, we used to have problems with them. And I see that Jay and a few other guys used to always have problems. When I look over there, they always getting bothered, getting robbed for their school money or whatever that. But the guy I was with was teaching me, like, yo, this is not how we gonna be. This is not how they're gonna do us. And he taught me how to stand up for myself, you know what I'm saying, and how to fight for what, you know, for Marcy and where we was from. It was all about where we was from. So one day I saw Jay in the building. I'm like, yo, we live in the same building. You live in the same building. I see what happens to him. I told him to start walking to school with me. And from there, man, it's like, that was my little brother from there.
That's crazy. I had a friend like that. His name was Wildman. He's dead now, who had my back from a very young age. And I see a lot of parallels there. So as you guys are getting older then, is the criminality increasing? You're getting deeper into it?
As we're getting older, I'm getting more into the street. I used to work for my stepfather and clean up his club. My stepfather was one of the biggest hustlers in Brooklyn as well. But I used to always watch and keep an eye on things when I'm working in a club, clean things up. So I kind of knew, you know, from watching how things work. You know what I'm saying? I knew that whatever, you know, what was in these aluminum foils, they was worth a certain amount of money. And I saw the transaction, you know, as a little kid, I always was observing. So one day I found some drugs. And when I found some drugs, I knew what it looked like. I thought I knew how to package it. I thought I knew how, you know, I never knew about weighing it and this and that. I just was eyeballed it. I kind of bagged it all up the way I saw it when I used to see my stepfather, but I was giving it away, actually. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And while I was doing that, it created a clientele. And when it created a clientele and shit, I just knew I started growing bigger and bigger. And like, I didn't even think about re-up money. Like, how was I going to get new drugs and this thing? Only thing I thought about was just selling it. And every day me and Jay would just spend the money, buy sneakers, buy clothes, you know what I'm saying? Go to McDonald's and this, that was the thing. And that set me out. So when I finished that and then with nowhere else to go, I created a clientele. And then that's when Spanish, this a good friend of mine that watched me grow up, Spanish Jose, which Jay mentions in A Reasonable Doubt, you know what I'm saying? He approached me with a good deal, and showed me the real game on how it works. And I never ever looked back from there. That was it from there. And everywhere I traveled, I made sure I had Jay with me, because things got bad for me in New York at one time. My mom saw me in the streets. She saw me taking this turn. She tried to relocate me. So I moved out of New York to Jersey, Trenton. And when I got in Trenton, it was more saturated. It was way more saturated with drugs and hustlers in Trenton. And, you know, that was just like the college of hustling for me when I got to Trenton. But after that, man, went back to New York, told Jay, you know, how I had things going on in Trenton, and told him, look, man, it's in no time. He was in Trenton living. We was in living with each other.
So as you're rising up like that, you've got to get in some scrapes together. Have you got any stories of scrapes you and Jay were in?
What you mean scrapes?
Situations.
Oh, man, I mean, situations come with that. You know what I'm saying? But depending on who you are and how you do business, that's how situations go. That's how situations occur. The few situations, the minor situations that came, I never, ever let Jay be involved. Any situations that had something to do with dealing with, you know, coming on the streets and it was going to result to violence, I would never have Jay around with me. And that's in under no circumstances. So, you know, I remember getting into shootouts over territory in Jersey and told Jay to go home for a little while till things, you know, calmed down. But that was just like a situation where I wouldn't want my little brother in. So most of the situations we probably had that I had, man, I handled on my own and didn't want him involved. Because you got to understand, like, when we left New York as teenagers, you know what I'm saying? That was one thing that his mom had asked me, like, you know, make sure that my boy is okay. Make sure that my son is all right. You know what I'm saying? So I would have never put him on the front line of anything that has something to do with violence. Plus, that's how my mom looked at him as a little son, and he looked at us as my little brother. So I wasn't going to let nothing happen to him.
So, you know, earlier you said you met at school, and now you've jumped. How long were you guys doing these things together?
Seventh grade. Been hustling since seventh grade, yeah. From petty, you know, petty hustling. Like I said, I ain't really started to see any real money until I left New York in 88. I left New York in 1988 when things was like at its peak of the drugs, of the crack era. And ain't look back.
You ain't look back.
Ain't look back. I mean, it only got bigger. And like I said, even down to the violence of me getting shot for him, when you mentioned in the title, and these are the things that come with that street in the drug game. It was unfortunately that my connect set me up, but like I said, in certain, you know, in past interviews, man, it wasn't about me trying to be no hero or nothing. It's just the simple thing that I was responsible for him. So I had to get him out of there, and I ended up getting shot.
All right, before we get to that, So it sounds to me like, and I've heard you previously talk about Jay-Z as being more like a chess player. What was he contributing to your business operation?
I mean, as a little brother, the small things. Hey, I need you to do that. Hey, I need you to do this. You know, go collect that money from them over there. Hey, you know, those, you know, he would have his little, you know, build his little crew up and put, you know, participate too as well. I would never say he didn't hustle at all. And he showed up when I needed him. When, you know, when it was time when I needed him, he showed up. You know, he had definitely had a, he had a different way of hustling than me. But he showed up. It's times that I don't screwed up some money. It's definitely times when I don't screwed up some money, and he actually helped me get it back to where it's supposed to be. So, you know, but it was always like a small task, you know what I'm saying? I would ask him. I wouldn't let him really put him out there on the front line of doing anything. And if I would have asked, he would have had no problem doing it. You know what I'm saying? I would never say he was a punk or nothing, but he wouldn't have no problem doing it. You know, I think he would have did it just to prove it to me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
Would you say that it was you and him running it, and then you had other people working for you guys?
Say again?
Would you say that it was you and him running the business, and then you had you had other people working for you guys? That's how it was structured?
Well, it was four of us. It was a team of us. It was me, Jay, an uncle, and a good friend named Panama. It was always four of us, and everybody had a role to play. Me, I was more on the front line of being out on the strips hand to hand, you know, with the customers, being around the customers most of the time, hand to hand. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see and feel it. It was some type of energy that I used to have for this. Jay, his hustle tactic was always having someone work for him. You know what I'm saying? He definitely, I don't know if it was, you know, to show that he was, you know, that he was more business minded when it came to that kind of hustling that way. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand that he had to be away. He was away a lot of time in the studio going to do, you know, working on his music. So it was good for him to have people working for him while he's gone. You know, people working for you is also a cut of your money. So, you know, that's how he didn't mind. But me, I was just more in the front line of like, we're going to need all of this.
So would you say that it was your collective skill set that enabled you to have a good run in that business? Because you see many people get in that business and they fall quite fast.
I would say I always had a gut feeling for something to go wrong. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it was. I always had a gut feeling, an intuition about when things ain't going right for me to make a different, you know, turn it in a different direction, try something new, move to another territory. So most of the time when I feel that way, just like things was going for me bad in New York, I ended up in Jersey. When I felt like things was going bad and I wasn't getting a fair deal out of in Trenton, I moved to Maryland. I set up an operation in Maryland. So it's those things that saved me. When I felt like I don't want to sell drugs anymore, period, and stopped in Maryland, That's when the worst came, when I actually stopped. You know what I'm saying? 3 years later, after I stopped, I end up getting locked up. You know, so that's more further into my case. But it just always was an intuition about me, having intuitions and making choices, different choices. That's what made me have a longer run in the game. Just listening to how they used to talk on my trial, and I seen a few police officers and law enforcement agencies that got on the stand that said, you know, they wasn't able to really keep up with me because I never really stayed in one spot. I never sat down. I was always out looking for a new territory, looking for a new area, looking for new money. So, yeah, you know.
When you see movies that portray this story, it's usually like the same story arc, Scarface or whatever. There's like the glitz and the glamour at the beginning. And then, you know, there's like the peak. But then everyone's getting addicted and everyone's getting paranoid. And then the feds start following people around. And then there's the consequences. So you've described the first phase brilliantly, you know, the rise and the mechanics of the operation. Could you get into more detail about the second phase where you're peaking and then the Fed start to come in, and any stories from that period?
The second phase is the enjoying it. The second phase is enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? Enjoying your work, your riches. You know what I'm saying? The cars, the jewelry, the women, all that comes with it. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely the second phase. Without the second phase, there would be no reasonable doubt. You get what I'm saying? That's what reasonable doubt is all about. You know what I'm saying? So, that made us, you know what I'm saying? That's why that album is so important to me. That's why I say that's my whole life on record right there. Cause that was the rise. That was everything that we've done right there on the album that he put right on the album. But the fall, the fall comes when it's coming. We all know this in the game. We all know this in the hustling game. The fall is coming. This is why they say, yo, put away your money for, you know, in case something happened, because that's just the normal legalities of this game. And whether you're going to have enough to get you out of there is going to, you know, determine. It's just on certain levels. You know, I've been through a lot of state cases. I had a lot of state cases where, you know, I had the best lawyers and I'm in and out of court. Like, I'm laughing at them. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a different level on a federal level, it's just way different. Like I said, my thing was when I quit hustling, you know, I just one day out of the blue just quit hustling. Like, I felt that those vibes, I felt that again. I felt like everything was out of control. I felt like everybody had too much money. It just was an eerie feeling. So I pack up, count up a bunch of cash, and I leave. And I left. When I left, 3 years later, 3 years, 3 to 3, 4 years later, here come the feds. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it works. You know, sometimes the people, when you quit, the people that still continue, you know what I'm saying? They still have your name circulating and things. And, you know, and that's how, unfortunately, that I ended up in there. But the thing was, where they put me at in the case was, you know, on a hierarchy. Like my damage was done when they came and got me and quit. You feel me? They never say they had the right man. I mean, I give it to them. They had the right man. But, well, what went wrong is they just had the wrong time. I had enough time to be out of this game to let the judge see that I had no more parts of this street stuff at all. That, you know, and shout out to the judge that, you know, seeing through that, it clearly showed that I had no more parts, no parts of the game, no parts of the street, and they didn't lock me up.
Yeah, so young people watching this, they don't have to catch you with the stuff. Statute of limitations. If there's someone from your past who says you've done a deal with them, they've got you. In my ecstasy importation case, I'd quit. And then a year later, they got me after I'd quit. And they had people. Yeah.
I mean, they operate under a different scope. You know what I mean? And this is what I try to tell these kids today. And it's like now with all this questioning about Jay, throughout this story that we've been talking about right now, Jay been with me the whole time, but yet he's not on my case. You feel me? But and the feds don't operate like that. You get what I'm saying? So things start. You start to question things this way. Like, wait a minute, how does this work? You know what I'm saying? If you tell me you had me under investigation for 10 years, and me and this guy have been together for 90% of that, and he's not in nothing. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that this is where you want them, but, you know, some things just don't add up when you start to look back at things, you feel me? So
could you go into detail of the story of you getting shot that involved Jay-Z?
One day, Ram, you know, out of random. I usually never have him with me when I'm going to do a deal. And it just so happened, like, you know, randomly, I'm like, yo, we got a certain amount of cash on us. We shouldn't be going back out of town without nothing. That we should might as well grab something before we go out of town. And it just so happens, like, and this is why this game is not to be trusted. It doesn't matter how much money I have bought that connect, how long I've been dealing with that connect, but they set me up. So, you know, I go up, we ride up to Harlem. And then it was really out of the blue because Jay had on lots of jewelry that day. And, you know, and we just don't do stuff like that. And it's went to see the connects, and I sat in their house for a second and stuff and got what I needed to get. And next you know, when it was time to leave, that gut feeling I talk about, when it was time to leave, the door closed instantly behind me, like too fast. Like, you know what I'm saying? And when it did that, I just had a gut feeling that, and I looked outside and I seen two guys outside like waiting on us. And I'm saying to myself, okay, I got 400, I remember this, got 490 grams of coke in my pants. And this guy got on a bunch of jewelry, and we got to get past these two guys that's outside waiting. You know, I already was on point. I told Jay to be on point. And when we got outside, you know, the guys was like, okay, you already know what it is. But they had it all planned in a way where I can push Jay away. And when I pushed Jay away and pushed him out the ways for him to run, the guy didn't just, like, shoot me in like that. You know, he literally grabbed me, put it in my back, and shot me. You understand? And put it in my back and shot me. So now we tussling. I turn around. We tussling for the gun now. We tussling for it. And I'm fighting, and he's calling the other guy. He's calling his guy. Yo, come back. Come back. And just so happened, man, I'm like, yo, I'm going to take my hand off his gun and just try to run. And when I took my hand off the gun, I ran and ran. By the time I got two blocks down there where Jay was, I was so out of breath, and Jay was like, you all right? I heard the gun go off, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Everything is good, but my back hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
I felt a thing in my back, like, and I kept reaching around in my back, and next you know, I put my hand right in the hole. And I'm like, Jay shot, bro. He like, get out of here. So we up two blocks, and then once I realized that, I started collapsing, and I'm laying on the floor. And I can remember looking upstairs, and the girls are like, you okay, baby? You all right? And I'm like, nah, I'm shot. I'm saying, so they like, yo, I'm going to call an ambulance for you. I'm like, cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the store and wait. I went in the store. And once they found out I got shot, they like, Poppy, no, you got to get out of here. You got to get out of here. They threw me out the store. So I'm waiting on the ambulance outside and shit, and I'm looking at Jay and all this jewelry and people walking by. I'm like, yo, you know what, man? Let's get in this cab, man. I jumped in the cab and told him to run me to the hospital. Then when we got to the hospital, before we got out, I told him just call my mom and tell him where I'm at. And I tell you what, like he said in Scarface, we got the yayo, though. They didn't get that, though, man.
Wow. I'm gripped like crazy right now, and there's loads of questions coming in. But is there drums going behind you somewhere or some music?
Yeah, hold on a minute. Yeah, they can hear that. So we can do something about it. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, they can hear it.
Thank you. If you've got questions for DeHaven, put them in the chat. Also, DeHaven's Instagram, I'm putting it in the live chat right now. Support his work. And if you put any questions for him, we're going to finish the story and we'll get to the questions at the end. So, man, what did you think of the way Jay behaved in that situation?
It was nothing he could do, man. He was, you know, I was more, you know, good with him being okay, man. I was all right, you know what I mean, with him. And the funny thing is, the whole time I laid up in the hospital, like I said, when it's time for him to step up, he steps up. The whole time when I was in the hospital, man, and I came home, the operation was up, all the way up. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it turned out to be, you know, he showed out. But that's some of the stuff that happens in this game, you know. You can't even trust the connect sometimes.
But stuff like that bonds you for life, man. I mean, you laid your life on the line for him then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what big brothers do, though, right? And like, I don't see no other way around it. You get what I'm saying? And that was something I always wanted, you know what I'm saying, was a little brother. Me and him both have older brothers, but, you know what I'm saying, because we were so tight, we don't even have relationships with our brothers, our real physical brothers, to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because we have spent so much time together around each other.
So how long after that did things turn sour with him?
Things started to turn sour when I started going to jail. I had to go to jail a few times. And this one particular time, I was locked up for a parole violation. And this is odd because, you know, I've been locked up before where Jay used to come and see me, you know, periodically and make sure I was all the way good. So this one time, you know, fast forward a few years later, I'm doing this parole violation. And at the same time I'm doing this parole violation, I got a $50,000 a week pipeline that's still open. You know what I'm saying? So while I'm laying up and waiting for him to come and see me so we can have conversations, even if he, you know, if I needed him to do anything. You know what I'm saying? So a few weeks started to go by and then come to find out I never get to see him. You know, I do a few months, I ride out my parole, and then when I come home and I'm talking to another friend of mine, and he tells me that him and Jay is in conflict now. Right? This is my right-hand man. And this is my little brother right here, right? So I'm like, how does that work? You're like, it's in conflict. He says, so what's the conflict? Conflict is he see Jay with the connect. You know what I'm saying? See Jay with my connection. And right then and there, he establishes that this is not right. Like, why would you be talking to his connect if you ain't talk to him? You know what I mean? So my right-hand man, really, he's really street with it. He's really played by the rules. He played by the rules, old school rules. Like, if you steal from me, you, who knows what you do? You know what I'm saying? So they came into a conflict where, you know, it was some gunshots involved. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, huh? He says, yo, you know, this is what I had to do. You know, trust and believe if he's doing this behind your back, you know what I'm saying? Who knows what he'd do? And I'm like, you know, this is like one of the toughest places a person could be in the middle of their friends. You know what I mean? So I'm telling my friend, like, listen, you know, let's chill. Let me talk to him. Let me see what's going on, this and that. And my friend is like, yo, this is not how I go. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But on a behalf, that's how we use that term. On behalf of me, my friend gave me that courtesy to let that thing go, to let it go. Because once gunfire is involved, somebody not supposed to be around after this. But so when I go to talk to Jay, Jay don't want to talk. That's what it seemed like. He don't want to talk. That was the number one thing that went left. Like, he never had a conversation about why that happened or whatever that happened, but he spoke about it on music. He spoke about it on music about, you know, how he felt about it, but that was all wrong, you know? And he said something to the fact that, like, I had someone try to kill him. Like, what? If I sit here and give you the history of what I've done from him all this time, like, why would I? You know, it doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like he just wanted to use that as an excuse. to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because just putting that out there that I would even think about having that done is just to make sense. But the fact of the matter, you call me a snitch, you tell me I'm caving on record, and you put my life on you put my life on the line. Like, we've been going back and forth for 20 years. And I'm sure we're going to get into detail after detail. Like, a lot of people don't know that we've been doing this for 20-something years on music. I've been doing it online, and he been answering everything on music. It's just people just not listening to it. Like, yo, he's really telling the story. You know, so things went sour from there, and it never got back right. But, you know what I mean? That don't negate the fact of everything I've done for him. You get what I'm saying? For instance, like, what would my mom have to do? If you saw Marcy Maye, you would understand how I feel, a lot more how I feel. Because you got to understand that he left home as a teenager and left and lived with my family. When we moved to Trenton, that was my family. We moved to Maryland, that's my family. Like, I've carried him around with me everywhere I went. So for that situation, for that one situation that he never got to the bottom of, he never asked about, he cut my whole family off. Everybody that was that's involved with him. You know what I'm saying? And to a point where most of the people that died, he never showed up at their funeral. We stayed at my aunt's house in Trenton. My aunt took him in and treated him just like she treated me. They passed away, no show, this, that. I mean, these are, I don't, you'll run yourself raggedy trying to think about why people make these type of choices. And you'll start asking, what did I do? Like, what did I do to deserve this from you? You know, so that's just been our history.
Damon, I know exactly how you feel. I mentioned Wildman earlier, who's my big brother. I had a little brother called Skinner when we were doing our thing, and they fell out, and Wildman was going to do something to little brother, and little brother got so scared, he went to the feds, and that's what brought the whole thing down, because they had the inside scoop on the organization. But if you want to get that story's coming out, my documentary on January the 9th, HBO Max with Sammy the Bull, Skinner's actually going to be in it. But the question for you from Ivy, do you feel Jay-Z would have kept you by his side if you hadn't gone to jail? She feels he was waiting for an opportunity to end the friendship. Your thoughts?
If he would have took me with him, if that would have never happened. You know what? I don't think so. For the simple fact that if he was always jealous of my position and who I was, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just throwing that out there. He would have never needed me by his side. You feel what I'm saying? Like, people would identify through his music who's what and who's who. So being that, you know, the way his choices and the way he moved looking forward, that, yeah, he would have never took me. He would have never took nobody that's going to question him or when he out of line. You know what I'm saying? He would have never took me. There's a lot of stuff that I would have never agreed to and agreed with within that industry. It's all the reason why that, you know, he hadn't took me. That's why I'm just not so angry anymore like I used to be. You know what I'm saying? Because I see a different perspective on things now. Why I'm not involved in that. You know what I'm saying? You know, in one story I said, you know, Jay may have saved my life. You know what I'm saying? Because if I go back in time and say, well maybe he would have looked out for me. Let's just say if he'd have looked out for me and would have brought me in. I wasn't really mentally ready. I still was on the street. I probably would have been trying to track down El Chapo. I would have been trying looking for the connect, for real. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't ready to settle in, you know what I'm saying? So I probably wouldn't have made it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So it's so many different perspectives and stuff that I look at so I won't be so angry. because you can be angry at someone and that angry will turn into something else. It'll turn into hate, envy. And once you start stirring up those ingredients in the pot, it just comes out. You don't get no blessings. You can't focus. You can't see right. You know what I'm saying? So it took me years to come up and get to this way. It took me years to look at it from a different perspective. But, you know, why be mad?
So Pam's question ties into my next question, which was, as he got more successful in the music industry, do you think that from his perspective, he outgrew the old lifestyle and you were a part of that and he wanted to go in this other direction?
As he grew away from us. Yeah, but the situation never went away because you still talked about it. He didn't grow away from the situation. We still have music. He still was addressing me. You know what I'm saying? It's just that the people didn't know. When he was running around with R. Kelly and did the Bust of Both Worlds, his lyrics was, ask your mom, you know, your mom said, what's this lyrics? Your mom said, I ain't the same. I'm still here like Rogaine. Ask your boy what he did to the game. Anybody that he know that I know is locked up doing a few though. What am I supposed to do though? So me. You get what I'm saying? So yeah. So he's been, you know, we've been going back and forth. He's never left it alone. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's been unresolved. It's just been unresolved situation. And I don't feel like, you know, he's gotten to a level, because that level is gonna always reflect back to me. I want him to get higher and higher in another level just because I'm gonna be a part of that. No matter how you change, no matter how you keep trying to change the narrative, I'm still there. You know what I mean? You think I want to see him in this kind of situations that he in now? That's not what I want. I don't want my name attached with people that do that. I want him to stay great to what he was doing. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, people, you know, just got to look at it from different angles, man.
Well, the situation he's in now then, do you view that as karma if he's treating his friends like you the way he's treated them?
Is that karma? The way he treats his friends. Well, is it his fault or is it the friend's fault? You know, you have to start asking yourself this, right? I did an interview not too long ago, and they said something about, you know, why he has this spell. I said he has this spell over people. And they couldn't pinpoint what I was saying about the spell. And I was like, this is why you see so many people hurt. This is why you see Kanye, Benny Single, Dame Dash, and a whole slew of them hurt. Because Jay has this spell, right? And they kept saying, what is the spell? The spell is the words. The spell that captures you. Yo, if one falls, we'll be each other's crutches. And we all love, we lie familiar, we family. And this is the spell to take you off of what you should be doing for you and your business when it's your turn. So you be so focused on, oh, Jay, you know, and I'm a help. You be so much inclined to help that when it's your turn, you don't get the reciprocation. And that's where you feel hurt at. Because he's not going to do what you did for him, he's not going to do for you. And that is the ultimate betrayal to me. Because, you know, you don't find out till you in your darkest time or in your worst time that you can't, someone is not going to do what you do for them. You get what I'm saying? So the answer to the question is, like, you know, is it karma? I wouldn't say that's karma for those guys. Those guys were supposed to look out for their own careers. Those guys were supposed to be looking out when Jay terminated me and say, seeing what Jay was doing to me, they were supposed to take heed to that. Because they knew I was day one. They knew what I sacrificed for that. So when they saw that, they were supposed to automatically go, hey, wait a minute. If he gonna do that, you know what I'm saying? If he do that to him, you know, he ain't gonna really give a shit about me. So that's why I look at Dame Dash and all of them. They look like the old me. complaining and, you know, this, that, well, you know what I'm saying? You're just wasting time. So is this his karma? Is this, if it's true, is that his karma, or he's just, I wouldn't say that this would be his karma. You know, I would say this is something way bigger than karma. Like, you know, who are you to say, you know, this is what you get for turning your back on them? Like, only thing you're going to get is the same thing that you gave people. Because nobody, everybody going to turn their back on you because nobody wants to be affiliated with that. So everything that they going through that I see that I went through already. I know what it feel like. I know he wished probably I was, if this is all true, he probably wish I was there. You know what I'm saying? It's hard when you got yes men around you, you all alone. When you're in these positions, you all alone. What you gonna get from a yes man? What you gonna get from those guys that been around you that didn't say nothing that got you in this the first time, that got you in this anyway, that didn't check you for that anyway? Only thing they could just co-sign is you hanging up. Like, yo, you just think I should just hang up? Yeah, yeah, do that. But, you know, this is not a good situation for nobody. You know, with my opinion, whether it's true with him, Puff, I don't know. Them guys are not a part of us anymore. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, shout out to Jaguar. I love her. That's my sis, man. She set this for me. She set the track. She set the trail for me to success. And I love her for that. You know what I'm saying? Because not too many people even wanted to touch what I was talking about, or, you know, or the whole 20 years. So shout out to Jaguar. And people say, well, why you feel so different about Jay, you know, and Jaguar saying this, listen. Jaguar saw something. She saw it. If she saw it, she saw it. You know what I'm saying? Do I agree with her and say, yo, I agree? I didn't see it. But not only Jaguar see it, it's a whole bunch of slew of people and the celebrities that have seen it. So who am I to say that that's not true? Who am I to say that, oh, they just talking crazy? But so far, everything she said has been valid. You know what I'm saying? But you still have us that be like, I want to see it. I don't care how much I love a person or care about a person, but if you saw them, you come home and tell me you saw a UFO, I love you to death, but I ain't see it. You understand? I ain't see it. You know what I'm saying? That don't knock me. That's not going to knock me totally. He's crazy. I'm not going to mess with him. Nah, you saw it.
Jaguar is watching, and she's in the chat right now, and he changed big time after you, Jaguar just said.
she just said that? Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can believe that them people are outside, you know, those are different people. And if that's true, and that's what's going on, they deserve to get caught. They deserve to be penalized. And I don't speak on Puff because I don't like him. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've been through what he's going through. I've been to 3 bail hearings I got denied. Yeah, I know what that's like. So one thing I do know with the feds, they saw something. You have to show the judge something. You understand? Because that's what they said about me when I was in there. They kept saying, like, listen, this is my 3rd bail hearing, and they kept asking, what more do you have for me to keep him locked up? What more do you have? I need to see something. They was never able to produce anything. So I know in Puffy's case, how they deny him bail, that means the judge saw something. You understand? So he's in there. And I don't like him because he beat my man for some money. Source money out a couple of million dollars. And that's why I don't like him. And I ain't like the fact that, and this is the thing that break your camaraderie. This is the thing that I don't, this is loyalty and honor to your own. The fact that Jay let Puff do that to Source Money, I had a problem with. Because once somebody see that you have a break in your chain, in your camaraderie, in your camp, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna infiltrate everything. They're gonna see, oh, yo, he don't really care about him. That was something that Jay should have corrected from the door and said, yo, look, Puff, nah, you owe my man Source Money. We can't be laughing and kiki highing around until you pay my man. But them guys don't work under loyalty and honor no more. I don't know who these guys are. This is why I'm not a part of that. Because stuff like that would have never happened on my watch.
A lot of people are asking about your thoughts on Jay denying being friends with Diddy now, saying he just bumped into him at a few events.
That's what happens when you pay high-class lawyers to do your work for you. You understand? That's what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure. Did he not go to Jay and say, yo, this is what I'm going to say? So Jay could be like, oh, no, you can't say that. Or do you just let them, because you pay them all this money, you just put your life, see, that's another thing. You put your life in these lawyers' hands with all this money and you don't really understand it. See, us, me, I had to dig into that law library book. I had to dig into my paperwork because I don't have those finances. I had to realize that they ain't have nothing on me. You understand? So I have to do it myself. So this is a clear point of what you guys get all this money for, and they just let these guys control their life. Because it's clear as day that we all human. And where I come from, those kind of accusations, right? I don't care who your lawyer is. Certain people, you're not going to be able to shut up. You understand what I'm saying? They had to put a gag order to Donald Trump. He even said that, man, I ain't touched this chick. You understand? You know what I'm saying? So why wouldn't you come out? That's what people want to see. People want to look in your eyes, bro. People want to see it because we can see it when we can see guilt on certain people, bro. You understand? I don't need no $25 million lawyer to tell you, yo, bro, I don't mess with minors. Period. But that's how that looks when I see that stuff go on. Like, they just don't know no better. And that's what I mean about having yes men around you and your team, because somebody, if I was around, his lawyer would have never said nothing like that.
A lot of people are asking if you think he switched sides. He got in some kind of trouble with the cops and he became an informant, perhaps.
Hey, listen, that's the only, like, you got informant friends. It took a rocket scientist to figure out, hey, Desiree Perez just got pardoned couple of years ago. He did the rock. So what was she doing all this time? You know what I'm saying? It don't take a rocket scientist with some of this stuff that's just common sense. And this is who you rolling around with? And don't get me wrong, who went and won? Them on your side. You understand? Especially if you ain't got the tail and you ain't got the great your loyalty. But who wouldn't want them on your side? If she been around federal agents for over 20-something years, you think she don't have retired friends that have favors? Why you think they all go to him when they get in trouble? Because I have the resources. I have the contacts over here. Who says that a government company can't own a company? Who says the government can't own Roc Nation and run it? Who said when you sign a new artist and they say, here, this is going to be your manager, this is going to be your tour guide, this, and those guys ain't informants and plants. You're not dealing with the state no more. This is top of the line. This is the NBA. They send these guys to school to infiltrate us. which it don't even take much. Nowadays, you give them a chain and some ice, they will get all the way in there. And now they show the salary of what they get? Come on, man. Game over.
Mimi wants to know whether Jay was ever locked up as a young man.
Never. Never. Mm-hmm. Never. And I could count on one hand probably how many fights he had. And I'm missing two fingers.
And Gloria is asking, would you ever go to visit Jay in jail if he were to get locked up and show him what a friend is all about?
Certainly will. Certainly will. Yeah, I could see me doing that. I can see me doing that. I don't know if he accept my visit, but I can see that. Because it's just not me of the sea. I wouldn't want to see my worst enemy under those circumstances, man. And regardless on how he left me and what I went through. And like I tell you, you read my story, I was homeless. And I still wouldn't want to see that on nobody. That hurt my character. That's what's got, because he has these charges, has heightened my story. You think I wanted my story to be seen through this lens? You know what I'm saying? It's not good. It's not good. And for me to know that he has nobody really around him, yeah, I definitely, if he was to go to jail and need somebody to talk to and need somebody some advice, yeah, I could see that.
So we had a young man called Ryan Mir on a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he's saying that Jay-Z is his dad, and he seems very legit, really, really authentic guy. Did you ever hear anything about Ryan Mir?
From what I heard and what I saw and read, the dates, it didn't generate it with me. I can't sit here and say that this man is lying or whatever. I'm not going to say that. But the dates of how Jay was moving in the late 80s, I would have never seen him going to Philly by himself or with anyone else without me knowing. I mean, we was too tight at those years of that happening. Now, I ain't saying it, who knows? Was I aware of Jay every move and this and that? But it's just the year doesn't add up how Jay was moving. He, you know, if it was more of a story like, yo, you know, he met his mom in New York and this happened in New York or this happened in Trenton or whatever, you know, where I can identify some of those places. But I don't think Jay would have ever made a move to Philly and associated with some women that I don't, you know, I just wasn't around. You know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong. I said, I don't know. It can be. That could have been some chick he slid in or whatever. I don't know. It just could have been. Excuse my language. I heard that she's not around. Rest in peace. I'll keep my condolence. But it just, the dates don't add up. You know what I mean?
As simple as this,
though, man. If it is what it is, man, I think, as a man, he owed another man that test. You get what I'm saying? You got a young man looking for some peace. That's it. Just some peace. I can understand that. And you are, as a human, as a man, should be, bro, if you know what you know, just to give you some peace, I'll give you that. But I don't see why they, you know, what can happen giving that man some peace. And if he is his pops, what can happen? I mean, what would be the bad story? He wasn't with, wasn't like he was in a marriage with somebody or whatever. But, and I also understand the other side of that, where so many women accuse these guys of doing this and having this and that. So, I mean, I understand how they feel too. And if he done this test for him, would he do 1,000 more for 1,000 other guys? I see where this can go. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah. I sympathize with both sides. But as a man, and the way Ramir, the way he go at it and the way he's saying it, the way, man, get a man some peace.
We've got Ronnie Bo coming in. And Ronnie Bo, do you want to unmute your mic and say hello to De Haven? because right now you've got yourself muted. We've got two Rons coming in, actually. We've got Ron, co-host in Scotland, coming in as well.
I panicked for a second and thought I sent Ron the wrong link to the wrong live stream.
No, he's there, but he's having difficulty unmuting himself right now.
Oh, let me see if I can help him.
Saying he's chosen to mute himself. You're getting asked by a lot of people, Dehaven, okay, whether you met Beyonce.
Oh, nah, he definitely ain't want to bring me around her. I know he ain't want to bring me around her. Not that time when it's in the prime. Nah, he ain't want to bring me around her. I could see that. Nah, I never met her at all, man. And I'm quite sure she know she could see that.
Ronnie, you want to say hi to Dehaven?
Yeah, y'all can hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. All right, how you doing, man?
I just wanted you to know, bro. You know, I grew up a Jay-Z fan, so you know, before he said what he said and about you in the American Gangster album, he on the Black album, he said Dehaven introduced me to the game. You know what I mean? So that statement alone, without me knowing much about you, it made me admire you too. Like who is Dehaven if this the one to introduce you to the game and you supposed to became this big major drug dealer, you know what I mean? Like, you know how it is when you growing up as youth in the trenches, we look up to the dope boys, you know what I'm saying? The ones who get money. So I grew up kind of like admiring you as well, just because of Jay-Z. But I wanted to mention the statement, you know, with me being like in the streets and in the feds, you know what I mean? I've been to the feds and all that. And Jay-Z said on the American Gangster album, he said, fuck Dehaven for caving. That's why we don't speak. Made man ain't supposed to make statements, right? Now, right. You know, with him going through what he going through right now, he might end up going through the same system we've been through, right? So yeah. I'm pretty sure. I know you, you know, we got a mutual sister in Jaguar, right? So, you know, I see you as a brother, even though we just meeting. So I could tell you a step dude and all that. But from your experience and knowing how that go, if he end up in the feds and he made that comment about you and he don't got no paperwork to produce, people know where y'all from. How do you think they going to treat him or approach him about that particular situation?
It's a good question. It depends on where he go at. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The power of money has brought the integrity game price down. You feel me? Are they going to handle him like that? You know what I'm saying? I don't think prison is the way it used to be. I think these guys now, you know what I'm saying? If you able to take care of a family member on the street for somebody and you inside, you get leniency. So I don't see a lot of pressure being applied to him behind that. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't apply it to him out here in the free world. You feel me? When he said it, they didn't apply it out here in the free world. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't think guys with that kind of money and power don't have that problem when they go in there. I think the feds got a special place for them. You know, we know
that. I mean, from my experience, even nigga, even dudes with money, you know, they was a lot of them was getting extorted. Like at least, like I was in MCC Chicago,
okay,
and it's like a gang culture. You know what I mean? Like from my experience, my rappy on my case before the paperwork came out, he assumed that I did something foul, right? So before right. I came there, he was saying that. So when the paperwork came out, you know, we was on the same couch. We was with the GD. So when the paperwork came out and he like, didn't you say something about dude did that? You know what I mean? Or he did this. And he's like, no, I ain't say that. I ain't mean it like that or whatever. So they asked me like, how you want to go about it? You want him to get violated? You want to send him out of here? You know what I mean? How right. you want to go about it? And I'm like, no, it's a misunderstanding. But from my understanding, like for Jay-Z to say something like that about you and you being a stand-up guy, you know he's supposed to get dealt with in a certain way. You know what I mean? He's not supposed to be respected. And I think it's because the money, the fame, like even these other artists and celebrities, like they ride his wood, you know what I mean? Because of Beyonce and his other accomplishments, but he's supposed to be treated like a rat, you know what I mean? For even, you can't say another stand-up guy is a rat, you know what I'm saying, and not produce no paperwork. And especially with you saying, like, it's like you really, bro, it's like you really still got love for him and trying to, like, spare him. And I could see that, like, you look at him probably like, this is my little brother, I don't want to expose him like that, but I'm pretty sure based on your experience, even if you don't got paperwork on him, I'm pretty sure you know that he did something foul within that situation. Yeah. Where you were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then even if he didn't, his relationship with them is no good to me. You get what I'm saying? Even that relationship that he had with the old girl is no good for me. So it wouldn't have worked out either way. You know what I'm saying?
About Desiree Perez?
Yeah, you have no business even having a relationship and friendship with her. So that's aside from the paperwork. You know what I'm saying? This is why I'm like, yo, how you think I felt when I came home to see them in the relationship, them cool with each other? And then to hear little, you know, small shots that Dame Dash would throw out and be like, yo, I couldn't mess with him because of certain things. Well, what are those certain things? You know what I'm saying? Like I just
didn't get how he would try to bash you with you being his brother and you probably being responsible for him becoming the man that he is today. And then you in direct business with a known DEA informant. It just don't make sense. Another thing I want to mention about that though, like I saw a clip where this dude from St. Louis was saying that Big Meech told on this dude named Cuffy, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you was as deep in the streets that I was, or probably even more. And we know that some people there are third party informants, like. In my particular, when I got indicted, right, somebody I was beefing with told my guy he wanted to holler at me and he think he can get me out. So I'm like, it just seemed awkward. So I'm like, all right, give him my number. So he called me and I'm thinking he just knows some laws or something I can get out on. So he tell me, bro, I know you don't want your name messed up, but I could get him a body and you could get off that indictment. You know what I'm saying? Or they just, you know how it go. They just want something bigger. Yeah. They just want a bigger case than. So when he said that, I'm like, bro, look, I still can't do that because you saying that it's not gonna fall back on me and make me look like a rat. But still, like, I don't even understand how that could be possible. Like you, like in the feds, I think it's a 5K1 or something like that. I forgot.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that shows that you a rat. Now, right. Some people can have fake paperwork and some people could just be third party rats and not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example, Jay-Z could have had another send off, say, look, I can't tell on DeHaven directly, but I'm trying to get out this jam. So I'll give you $100,000, or even some people would do it for $10,000, even $1,000. So I want you to get jammed, you know, get them this information that they need about DeHaven, and they gonna credit me so I don't have to get in that jam. You know what I mean? I just know that type of stuff happened from our experience. So, I mean, bro, like, I salute you. You know what I mean? I'm definitely gonna read your story, Marcy Made, and I think you should be more vocal though, bro, because you a voice. You somebody like who's like, this is like your little brother for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people don't want to hear from me because the information I know about Jay-Z come from R. Kelly. And who is he? You grew up with him. They just went on tour together. You know what I mean? Right. So yeah. I think you should be more vocal for people like us, bro, who come from a certain lifestyle, because they need to understand that,
right,
like, this how it go. They really don't know that. Some people, like, all rats are not even in paperwork. And if they is, they it say CI or CS or something. You know what I mean? But
I just try to really basically, man, use this story, man, and I say it in a way so I'll let them know that I'm not really angry and mad at Jay like I used to, because In the real game, when you really look at it, bro, we was all played. We ain't put none of that in our neighborhood. We all got played. So for me to hold that against them and be mad and angry and shit and spend that time in your heart and this and that when you could be doing other stuff. So I just tell them, look, this is what the streets do. It tear you out your friendships and your relationships and your families apart. You know what I'm saying? That killed the whole 25-year history that I had with a friend. This is what the streets can do. Our mothers don't speak no more. Our sisters don't speak no more. We got nieces and nephews that's tied together. All of this did that throughout the streets, man. And nobody like, this is what it does. So I try to use this platform as saying I would have had a whole better relationship with Jay if it wasn't for them streets. You know what I mean? But who's to blame? It's bigger than us. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Bigger than us, bro.
But that's why I say, like,
huh?
Go, keep going, Ronnie. Keep going.
But yeah, that's why I was basically saying, like, I could tell you still, like, stand up dudes, we got good hearts, bro. And I could tell you still, like, you looking at the bigger picture. Like, I don't want to blame Jay. That's why I say you it's like you sparing them, because it's like, look, bro, I know you did what you did. You bogus for how you treated me. And you know how tight we was, but man, I'm going to be the bigger man. I love you. You still love, bro, because I know that you could really expose him on another level.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. Listen to me, right? I could shake this internet up if I want to. I mean, shake it up. But for what? For what? What I'm going to get? What for some extra views, for some more money, or this and that, and the third? For what? For this is my integrity here. This is something that I won't want somebody to do to me. Even though he displayed the act of saying, yo, fuck you, your mother, and your family. But that still negates for me, because I know where that shit would take me. I just keep telling you, like,
Big bro, though, look, though, you got to understand, too, we at war, bro. Like, it's a war between the real and the fake right now. You know what I'm saying? And the fake been winning for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, the fake winning, they've been allowed to work for the government, be out here and look like they real bosses and kings, while the real been basically suffering, bro. So, I mean, you your own man.
They gonna get their just due, right? They gonna get their just due, right? But I learned, so when I put all my focus into the thought of trying to prove myself to them and all that energy it took, man, I could have just used that to channel into helping out, making sure that this don't happen to the next group of dudes, making sure that this and that, because it's just irrelevant. All this stuff to me, like, now, just thinking about it, this whole thing is a distraction. To me, this whole thing is a distraction, bro.
It is. Look, think about what you just said, bro. Now, let me ask you this. Who you think got more influence in the world right now, you or Jay-Z?
He does.
Okay. He, and because of that, he misguiding our youth. Because he not 100 like you, bro. So that's why I said we at war. They got our youth looking up to people like Jay-Z, who technically rats. And then they got our youth looking up to people like me and you, like they failures or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's not just that we wasn't with this agenda. You know what I mean? We weren't with setting everybody up. We weren't with working for the government and making it seem like it was something else. So that's all, bro. But it was a pleasure to meet you, bro. I appreciate
you too, having this conversation. Man, and I love your energy, bro. You like you said, man, we all have the same thing in common. It's something about, you know, this a good heart in this game, man. And that's the thing. You're not supposed to have a good heart in this game. You're supposed to, there's rules to this. You know what I'm saying? He said it. If you can't walk away from this and leave everything, you know, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I mean, at some points where you be like, yo, you really start to feel sorry for him. Because I know how I feel to be all alone. Like I told him, I know how to. It's almost, and the media can switch it. They could be so much on him where you really could feel like, man, I feel sorry for him, bro. I pray for him. For him and his family. You know, I don't know what he's going through. You know what I'm saying? You know how people look at this, just based alone how people was looking at me like, yo, he call you a snitch. But a pedophile? You know what I'm saying? That you got to wear that? Something different, man. And like I said, I don't really wish that on nobody and stuff, you know what I mean? Because I don't want nothing happening to a child, and I definitely don't want nothing, no man being accused of that, and he didn't do it.
Behaving, you touched on something really important there about the young people. And thank you for being so generous with your time and coming on today. Can you tell the young people watching this, some of whom may have gangsteritis, they've watched too many movies like Scarface, and they think the lifestyle's cool and glamorous. Hey, Can you tell those young people? Yeah.
Let me tell you young guys down, man, facing this. Listen to me, right? And this is on a federal level. I've seen this over and over again. If they give you a choice, it's either you're going to have to turn somebody in or they're going to get your mother. Because your mother ain't have no business taking, you know, money to the bank, putting in the bank. And they're going to figure that out. Now, and that's what the choices they be giving you. They're going to mess with your loved ones. They're going to destroy everything you have just to get what they want. It's unfair. So if you don't want your mother and your family involved in that, man, just stay away from the streets. It's nothing out there no more. It's nothing. There's nobody to trust. There's no loyalty. All the ingredients to the game that had morals, they all gone. And this is all a new free money. This is what I teach in class. Like, it's so much other opportunities out here to get money. You know what I'm saying? You just got to get yourself around the right people, motivated people, people that's doing stuff. Because crime it's over. It's over. The drugs is no good. Fentanyl, coke, you don't know what's the difference. They got it on weed. Yo, America, to me, this weed and this fentanyl is what they did in the early years when they put that in our city earlier, the coke and the dope and that. This weed is just a new way to keep us delusional, smoking all day. And this is it. This has got to be it because this is causing an impact on people thinking. You may think when you do your best when you high, but you don't. You're not. You don't know what you smoke anymore.
Why you think Jay-Z don't tell them that with the influence he got? Why you think he don't tell them that?
Because he can't. All of them
absolutely.
Can't.
Absolutely. And look, I'm gonna leave on that note, bro, because I just wanted to meet you. But I'm gonna leave on that note. I gotta get ready for my interview, bro.
Okay.
Man, I salute you, bro. Much love and respect. And I'm gonna get your number from Shane or one of them so I can follow up with you. But we need you, bro. Our youth, our community needs you, bro, for real. Like, much love and respect.
And that's what I'm doing out here now, man. I'm out here, man. I'm creating my own training courses and stuff, man, to get these brothers right, showing them some leadership, man. Working with a lot of better organizations because I don't like the organizations that's out here now. It's they got a lot of people that want to help. Their heart is in the right place. I don't work seeing these organizations. Their heart is in the right place, but a lot of these organizations and these nonprofits now, they go to hire they homies. And it don't work that way no more. You can't use this your homie because he just did 15 years. Yo, you should go talk to the kids. They don't want to hear that. Yo, I was locked up for 3 years, 10 years. You shouldn't be doing it. Nah, it's more to it, man. You're not hiring leaders. You got to show them how to be leaders first. You know what I'm saying? Because these kids ain't going for that. They've been locked up too. So it's just a change of demographics, man, of how we should be going about it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, thank you for having me here. Thank you. And this is definitely an honor meeting you, bro. We're going to get up. And my time is almost up too, man. And, yo, Sean, man, this has been dope. I'm looking forward to part two. We got to go into the songs and the years. We got a 30-year story here, bro. We can't. Details. There's a lot more details. And I know
that'd be huge.
Huh?
That'd be huge. You go into them songs, break down the lyrics, because even he acknowledged before he tried to insult you, he acknowledged that you was a key figure in his life. You know what I mean? So, and he can't take that back now. Millions of people don't hurt him basically stamp you. So you can't take that back now. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
But much love and respect, De Haven, for coming on. Man, you're welcome to come back anytime you want. The door is always open. That's we appreciate hear, that, yeah. that message for the young people. It's so important. So they don't end up as fodder for these private prisons and all these parasite contractors. Exactly. It's disgusting what's happening over there, the school to prison pipeline. But yeah, so you have a great rest of your day, and we're going to move over to our next show. And thank you again.
Don't forget the Marcy Mays series, man. Follow me on my IG. Follow me on my YouTube page, man. Support me. Look for Silent Kings and these programs that I got coming out, man. And I appreciate you having me. I can't wait to get over there where you at, though, in the UK, though. That's where I want to come. We got to do something live, man.
Definitely. All right. Take care, my friend. Cheers.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. I put De Haven's Instagram in the live chat. So please support him, follow him, send him some love on his Instagram. Tell him you came from here. Put a one in the chat if you want to see De Haven come on for a part two. And also, we are about to go live with Ronnie Bo. He's got his own show. He's going to explain everything. And this video is going to transfer you over to Ronnie's video. If it doesn't, just press the channel icon. And we'll be live with Ronnie Bo in just a minute. So we will see all y'all in there. Thank you for tuning in.